Hi there, I'm Joshua Molina. You might know me from The West Wing, or from Scandal, or from my new podcast, The West Wing Weekly. And you're watching Mr. Media.
I'm Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You can see, hear, and read more than 1,000 of my previous celebrity interviews at MrMedia.com. That's MrMedia.com. Subscribe to the show on YouTube, iTunes, Apple News, or Google Play, and please post a review. You can also follow the show on Twitter and Facebook. On today's show, I'll welcome back Conan O'Brien's right-word man, Rob Cuttner, along with actor Joshua Molina, best known for his appearances on Sports Night, The West Wing, and most recently, Scandal. Molina also co-hosts the podcast, The West Wing Weekly, a progressive discussion of every episode of The West Wing, starting with the first. Cuttner and Molina are here to talk about their new audio comedy for Howl.fm, Runaway Brains. It stars, no kidding, Jeopardy champion Ken Jennings and his rival, IBM supercomputer Watson, played by Weird Al Yankovic. Stick around. This show is hungry for brains. Brains! Radio sitcoms were read their last rites back in the 1950s when Jack Benny, Burns and Allen, Bob Hope, and all the rest gave up the original broadcast medium for TV. And yet, it seems like every modern comedian now has his or own radio-like podcast where they typically talk to other comics about, being stand-ups. Comedy writer Rob Cuttner, for whom writing jokes for Conan O'Brien has never been enough to satisfy his fertile heart and mind, must have received a different memo, however. He's bringing Sexy back to the radio sitcom. Runaway Brains. I just love saying that. Runaway Brains, a new original audio series now available on Howl.fm, is essentially a buddy comedy that follows the misadventures of Jeopardy game show champion Ken Jennings, played by Ken Jennings, and his rival IBM supercomputer Watson, played by, not Watson, but Weird Al Yankovic. While on the run, the pair encounters Freemasons, the International Gay Lizard Conspiracy, and visits Area 51 and a TED Talk. Guest stars lending their voices in the series include Mayim Bialik, Michael Ian Black, Adam Pally, David Koechner, Lauren Lapkus, and the man joining Cuttner here today, Joshua Molina, star of Scandal, Sports Night, The West Wing, and his own podcast, The West Wing Weekly. You can catch up on the first three episodes of Runaway Brains at Howl.fm. That's on the internet, folks. By the way, this is Cuttner's fourth appearance on Mr. Media. Rob Cuttner and Joshua Molina, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you for having us.
Great to be back. Fourth time's the charm.
It may or may not be. I got to point out to folks that we have no video on Rob, so that's either a good thing or a bad thing.
Criterion I had for appearing today is that I had to be the sole person on the screen.
It's in his writer.
Yeah. No green M&Ms for me, just full screen, sole focus.
All right, folks, you heard it here first. So Rob, you've discovered this new medium, huh? Radio?
Yeah, well, next up for me is going to be the Telegram. I'm going to do a great novella in Morse code. I'm working my way backwards through the 20th century.
How does this project differ in scope or weight or however you define it from the books you've done, The World According to Me and Apocalypse How, and the extended music video, all of which we've spoken about here in the past, 2776?
First of all, I actually got money up front for this one, which is a big, change in my professional standing, hopefully.
Why'd you bother making it then?
I know. I was going to be that. That's why my face isn't available because I'm in Tijuana right now.
Okay, now I understand.
This is different because it's more narrative. I wanted to do a serialized storyline, and also I did the comedy album that you referred to, which was a bunch of sort of standalone songs, and this was just an attempt to bring more sort of narrative scripted fiction into the podcast world. As you mentioned, it's a lot of more sort of talk shows and news shows, and I thought it'd be interesting to do kind of the old school radio serial thing.
By the way, how many episodes will there be?
There's 10 total, and actually they are all available on Howl now.
Ah, okay. I did not realize that. And will there be? Is there room for another season of this? Or
well, I left an open ended conclusion so that there could be a whole other season if the angry mobs come to my door and demand it, which is the only way I respond to people.
More upfront money. More.
That's
upfront
right. Money. Oh yeah.
More brains. More brains. And Joshua, how did Rob rope you into this? Did you guys already know each other, or what's?
I think he said Rob falls into that ever expanding group of friends that I have, where I go, have I ever even met this guy, or do I just know him from the internet? I consider him a dear friend. I think he's very funny. I watch and read and consume the stuff he puts out, and then I think, but how do I know this guy? But we go way back. We've had various interactions over the past. And he also falls into that category of people that I wanted to work with. So I was delighted when he asked me to participate. You know, there's some people you just go, yeah, whatever it is, I'm in. I don't really even need to hear the details till later. But yeah, sure, if you got something for me to do, I'd be delighted to do it.
Oh, that's nice.
You say it as if Rob is the Aaron Sorkin of sitcoms.
It's the Aaron Sorkin of internet radio. when he works his way all the way back to cave paintings, I also want
to be part of that. I want you to know that I'm walking and talking as I give this interview right now.
There you go. Very nice.
And Joshua, had you done much voice work before? Have you done like voiceovers or audio or this kind
of thing? Yeah. I'm 0 for 27 years of trying to get a voiceover job. it's always appealed to me. I like the idea of not worrying too much about how I look, although I'm on camera now and you can tell I probably also didn't put a lot of thought into what I would wear for this. I put even less thought into what I wore when I worked on Runaway Brains. No, so I like the idea. I have really, truly always wanted to break into voiceover, I never, ever get anywhere. So I apparently don't have a voice that most people want to hear. It takes a Rob Kuttner to realize that there's value there nonetheless.
I would say that Josh has a face too good for radio.
There you go. I'll take that.
And how do you assess his work on Runaway Brains, Rob?
Fantastic. He showed up on time. He wasn't wearing pants, which is what I demanded for all the voiceover actors.
Let's be honest. I showed up before you.
That's true. I was late to the that was sort of a motif. I was late to the appointment. You know, the proverbial one take wonder, that was basically Josh. Like I had some things to do. He walked right in there and basically nailed it. And I just had him try a bunch of different ways, but the first one was the best. And I only wish it lasted longer because it was so much fun working with him.
I want back in if I hear season two may be happening.
Give me those brains.
Now, are either of you guys fans of old-time radio, the old radio sitcoms that I referenced in the introduction?
Well, it's funny. I'm part of a sort of salute to that era and that kind of material. There's something called the Thrilling Adventure Hour, which is it is released as a podcast, so people see it all over. But it was performed monthly in Los Angeles for about 10 years. I was lucky enough to be a part of it, I think, maybe the last 4 years. I am an official Work Juice player, and it was a monthly performance at Largo, at least in the last many years. And it's actors with scripts in hand performing these really great serialized stories written by the real team of Ben Acker and Ben Blacker, and has an incredible fan base. That would come month after month to see the show live, and an even bigger fan base of people that would listen to the podcast, and they would tease out these insane stories over the course of a decade. Now we no longer do the monthly show, but there are occasional performances that we're going to perform in New York, I think, next month, and so it still lives. And so, though contemporary, I like the sort of hat tip to old-time radio.
I did not know that you were part of that. I've actually become addicted of late to now I can't remember if it's Blacker or Acker who does the the interview show with the writers.
I believe that's Blacker, but I just had dinner with him two nights ago, and I had to ask him which one he was. I've known him for years. I still have to. There's always at least a 2-second pause where I think, that's Blacker. Okay, yeah.
right. I want to get him on this show. It's fascinating what he does. So if you want to be a conduit to that, make that happen.
That I can get you in touch with one of them.
I can get you Acker and or Blacker.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, you guys can compete later off air and figure out who gets to make the invitation.
Yeah.
Rob, is this sort of like old time radio? Is it more of a hybrid or the other thing it reminded me of and it was strangely it was Dickie Goodman's Mr. Jaws. Now that was this 1970s thing where Dickie Goodman supposedly interviews Jaws from the shark from Jaws. Instead of getting verbal responses, he answers in little bits of a song. And I don't know why this made me think of that, but it did.
That's it. Wow.
That was the question. I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were going to play it right then.
I don't have the rights. Sorry.
Oh, you don't have the rights. Just like he didn't have the rights to play those.
But we all just imagined it.
Right. I'm also a fan of the Thrilling Adventure Hour, and I've been to it several times. And I like either Black or Acker. I think I hate the other one, but
you're not wrong.
That just got Blackward. I like those things. I remember listening to like The Shadow Knows and those things. I wasn't a huge fan of the comedy. I thought I found a little bit sort of broad, and I just think maybe it was just a different sort of texture of comedy than we kind of like nowadays. But the drama and the Flash Gordon serials and those things were always kind of cool. And as Josh said, I just sort of like tipped my hat to it. Like the organ, I sort of asked the composer, this great composer I have, Andrew Morgan Smith, to create a techno organ hybrid. So you'll notice that if you listen to it, it has like these little organ riffs for dramatic moments, but also like this kind of like a techno computer popping stuff into. So that was kind of my, and also the narrator Elliot Killian, who you may know as one of the hosts of the Flophouse podcast, which is very popular. He just always has this old time radio voice that, I used to work with him on The Daily Show, and we would use him for like, fake 1920s newsreel sort of stuff. And so I asked him to be the narrator. So I think having that kind of narration and that organ stuff are sort of the aesthetic references to it. But otherwise, it's a fairly modern story, and then it involved the internet.
And Rob, do you want to take a minute and tell folks a little bit about the plot line for Runaway Brains?
Basically, the gist of it is that if you imagine the Jeopardy face off between Ken Jennings and Watson, this is the final Jeopardy round was interrupted by some government and corporate bigwigs who rush onto stage and claiming that Watson contains these amazing valuable secrets and he'll have to come into custody. And Ken and Watson run off with Watson and Ken's backpack, and they go on the lam to try to find out what the secret is and also sort of learn about each other. And they end up sort of caught in the underbelly of all kinds of different conspiracies and secrets that are part of American culture, and this kind of very, very sort of Shaggy Dog plot where every week they kind of encounter some different extreme personality type, like the Freemasons you mentioned or the gay Jewish lizard conspiracy. And in the end, they sort of end up having to go back to Watson's creator at IBM, played by Michael Ian Black, and sort of face the Darth Vader father figure of it all, and find out what makes himself tick.
And do you start something like this because it's so specific to Ken Jennings and Watson? Obviously, you could cast anyone as Watson, but did you start with Ken Jennings, or did you, were you thinking you would cast someone as a Ken Jennings type of person?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that. I got cut off. Can you repeat?
Oh, yeah. Did you – I mean, how do you begin something like this? Did you have in mind to actually use Ken Jennings, or were you thinking like a Ken Jennings type? I mean, Watson
Ken Jennings type.
Could be anybody.
It was a couple of things. I mean, first of all, it really sprung from a reaction to the medium. Like I said, like I enjoy a lot of these sort of lengthy, long-form comedy talk podcasts. But I was also thinking like – they're all so long, you can only listen to so many of them, and sometimes you don't want to sort of listen to a sprawling conversation. You want to have like a really tight storyline. And as you know, I have a very like kind of crazy, some would say criminally dangerous imagination, and I wanted to imagine this bizarre world that sort of took advantage of all the sort of conspiracies and aliens and stuff that I think about. But to do it in audio, you can kind of create a whole world with the imagination. So the idea of having a short story that would fit into that, and that can be very imaginative, was appealing. And then the actual meat of the story was you know, in a way, it's kind of like how I know Josh, I think, was originally through Twitter. Ken Jennings, if you don't follow him, is a very, very funny, sharp guy on Twitter. And I've been following him and enjoying him for years. And I always thought, that's just a really funny guy who has a lot of personality, that it would be fun to see a different side of him. And I'm also very interested in artificial intelligence and the whole relationship between people and AI and how that's changing. And so, you know, one day I thought about, like, what could be a good sort of, you know, sort of crazy out there story that you could do in audio. And I started imagining Ken and Watson stuck together as this buddy comedy, like you said, and like these sort of mismatch of his straight-laced personality and Watson kind of being this happy-go-lucky, like, you know, the way computers nowadays, I think, are more artificial intelligence computers like Siri, I think, and Watson to some extent are more like, not like the does not compute sort of, you know, evil Android figures, but they're more like happy and they want to please us. So imagining this kind of giddy, happy-go-lucky computer stuck with kind of this straight-laced by-the-book guy seemed to me kind of a fun buddy adventure.
Are you having to pay Watson royalties, you know, for using his name, but having someone else voice?
No, I just imagine he'll come into my computer one day and just, like, order a cease and desist and just shut it down from within.
And you guys created a near Jeopardy theme, am I correct?
That's right. You picked up on that. Yeah.
You were
trying to avoid the old lawsuit issue, so.
Probably a good call. I enjoyed it.
And why Weird Al as Watson?
I think you can say in almost any case, why not Weird Al? Is always a fair answer. You know, I've been trying to work with him for quite a few years on something, and I think because of his sort of nerd cred, you know, to some extent, like, he's a guy who's clearly into, like, people and robot stuff, and just because he has, like, a versatility, and, you know, he has sort of a really kind of fun cartoonish style to himself that I just thought he would be just a really fun, like, counterpart to Ken's, like, straightforward style. And also just to use him, like, in something other than music, I think it'd be interesting too, to showcase he is a really, you know, as you can hear, is a really great dramatic range, and he really just, like, goes through all kinds of different stuff that it's just fun to hear that side of him come out.
It's also sort of a second renaissance of Weird Al going on now with this, and of course he's on tour, but he's also doing Comedy Bang Bang. You seem to have caught him at just the right time.
I think I got him just in time. He's also going to star in a new, I think it's Nickelodeon show by the creators of Phineas and Ferb that's coming out, I think, in a little while. So he's really just busy. So I was when his manager told me you can have him from this date to this date, I was like, all right, I'm getting ready right now. I'm going to lock that down.
And he's been a not infrequent guest on the Thrilling Adventure Hour, too.
That's true.
He gets around.
Coalesces.
Did not know that. And Joshua, now you come in to Runaway Brains in the third episode, which is...
Yes, that's when the whole series really takes off. arguably the emotional high point of the entire thing, although stick around for the rest.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Well done.
That's the Better Off Ted episode. Did you have to do anything to prep for your role? Did you go to any TED Talks, for example? Or
I only realized once I went into... Once I saw the material, I realized that I had been preparing for much of my life for it. So, it's like, that's why I was drawn to TED Talks. So yes, I felt I had a good base. I believe my role technically was inspirational speaker. Am I right, Rob?
Yes.
Yes. And I am nothing if not an inspirational person. So I felt ready. I felt good to go.
So did you read any Anthony Robbins, any Oprah, you know, did you have to gain weight for the role?
The other way around. The role has led me to dedicate the rest of my life to helping others. It's too late for me, but I feel like I can inspire others, maybe younger people.
it's called taking back.
There you go.
As opposed to giving back. I got it.
Right. Taking,
yeah.
Buying it forward.
Now, I asked about a second season of this. Either of you want to do another series like this? Would you, you know?
Another series of this, or you're saying something else?
Something, yeah, something else.
It was great fun, and I think Rob, I mean, if you look at the people that he got to do this, it would have been harder if we were shooting an episode of television. You know, in other words, you can get people to pop in. Well, when are you available? You've got an hour here. You don't have to have the people in the same room necessarily. And so it is a nice way to utilize a great eclectic cast of people and bring in all sorts of different talents, because you can do it in a sort of more casual way than if you were all going to peer in front of the camera. And so, yeah, I was really drawn to that. I like the idea of getting all these various people together.
And how much of it was shot – I'm sorry, was recorded with other – for example, Joshua, you know, were you in studio with either, you know, Al or Ken, or did you shoot – did you record
– Alas, no. I was just there with the creators, Rob Kuttner and Rob Kluttner. I worked with one of them. I can't remember.
With the Acker and Blacker of audio.
That's right.
I guess that. And your only thing was you had to do it with no pants on, apparently.
Yes, which I had no problem.
Just like another episode of The West Wing or Scandal,
yeah,
for that matter.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, Ken and I did mine. Pretty quickly. I wish it had taken longer. I wish I had seen more of the people involved. But again, I guess that's the sort of the nature of the beast.
All right. And go ahead, Rob.
Go ahead. No, I will say. Josh was going to say everything I was going to say about, like, that's the beauty of something like this, is that I was able to schedule all these people who would be impossible to get together at the same time, at completely different times. And I guess the only downside of that is that we didn't have people together. But like even Ken is based in Seattle, so we recorded him in Seattle. And I do have to give a little tribute in that score to Rick Sanchez at Post Ace Media, who recorded it, but also did all the sound editing and mixing and added all the effects and stuff. And you can imagine, we got people recording all different places, and everyone really sounds like they're in the same room and really like interacts with each other in a very like lightning fast, tightly edited way. So it sounds like a lot of people are kind of doing it around an old timey radio, you know, with all the microphones in front of them in the same room, you know, and stepping out and smoking and having affairs and all that sort of thing. But it's all completely separate recordings that, through the magic of his audio tools and his wizardry, sounds like it's all in the same room.
Yeah, he did a good job. It does. It really does sound great.
Well, it's amazing. You know, if any of the old time radio stars from the 40s or 50s. 30s and 40s, let's say, were available to participate in this conversation, I think they would be astonished that you could record that way. So that and you know, we know that you could record an actor in New York via, you know, digital line, and it would sound like they were in the room with you. Joshua, how is it acting against someone that's not there? And were you able to hear what had been recorded already, or were you just reading your lines?
Yeah, no, I was able to hear. I like it. Even on Scandal, my favorite scenes are telephone scenes. Now, but why don't you stay at home, and I'll be on camera? This is why I'm enjoying the Skype conversation so much.
This is my favorite interview ever.
Said the disembodied voice.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I guess it would be fun to be in the same room. Yeah, no problem. I'm all for the technology of it all, and... it's sort of fun to put it together like a jigsaw puzzle and then listen to the final product. I saw Michael Ian Black at the ATX Festival in Austin, and I said, I worked near you.
Near you.
Act, but in this particular show, but we were in the same thing. I'm not even sure he knew I was in it, but I knew he was in it.
And Rob, any of the other, I don't know if you want to call them cameos, but any of the other folks who... lend their voices. Any good stories you want to share while you had the opportunity?
Oh, about well, you know, actually, Michael Ian Black was the funniest because in terms of that, because he was like in town for one day before he was like rushing off to New York to do something, and I had to like find an audio guy. And you know, to some extent, you can just do sort of all kinds of audio, but you have to have really high quality because people can hear every pop and crack. So you have to have top notch stuff. And so I had to find a guy like by posting in some sort of comedy board and get a recommendation, and then like rush out to his house in Silver Lake and like catch him in his living room. So that was kind of a bit of a suspenseful adventure, but you know, sort of made it more fun. The other fun thing was so Mayim Bialik, who I'm friends with and have wanted to work with for a long time. Actually, she's on the album as well, as you may recall. But she's very, very busy with Big Bang Theory and a lot of her stuff she's doing. And but fortunately, she works 200 yards away from me. Their soundstage is one soundstage over from Conan's. So we were able to work it out so that she could sneak over during a lunch break and record with our sound guy. And then I realized I'd forgotten to get a publicity picture. And, you know, I couldn't get a sort of second engagement because the rest of her week was booked up. So the sound guy lent me a microphone and a headset, and I had to sort of like sneak out of that with my during my work day while this tour group's going by, sneak into Big Bang Theory, who doesn't know that I'm coming, only she knows. She had to send me around to the back door, like the secret back door, and then go into her dressing room and then set that all up and do a fake photo shoot of that. So a lot of cloak and dagger stuff.
Yeah, a little guerrilla, filmmaking, whatever it is we did.
So that would make Rob Magilla? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Yeah, more of a Bonobo feel, I think.
I was going to ask, did you give any cameos to non-Jews or just?
Oh, wow.
Real Hollywood secrets coming out now.
Yeah, mine, like Michael Black, kind of counts, Josh Molina.
I don't remember anyone else. Well, David Koechner, I think, has a Jewish name, but is definitely not, I would say. His last name could pass, Ellis Island, I think.
I'll allow it.
Thank you.
It's interesting with Mayim again, and she's been on this show. Actually, the first season she was on Big Bang, she came on and spent about an hour talking about the show. And I was listening to her about a week ago on Nerdist with Chris Hardwick. She and Chuck Lorre came on to talk to her conversationally. She tends to be a fairly serious woman, but in Runaway Brains and Big Bang, she can be quite funny with the right lines. It's a really interesting dichotomy.
Well, as you probably got into, she's a PhD neuroscientist and very serious about religion and stuff like that. So it is that in a way that is why I cast her as the evil genius in this. Was to like the same way Weird Al, I wanted to push people in sort of a different direction. And even her character on Big Bang is a little bit straight-laced, even though it's very funny. So I wanted to just sort of have her go broader than she usually goes, just for that reason.
Hmm. All right. Well, guys, before I have to let you both go, I want to ask you each about your day jobs, if that's all right. And Joshua, let me start with you. I'm assuming you'll be going back to Scandal for another season in the fall?
Yes. Season 6 begins filming mid-July. And I don't know when it starts to air. I know we're shaking things up. We've got a different schedule, and I think we're going to start airing like January or February. So we're going to get a lot in the can before we start airing.
And that way it probably runs straight through week to week without any breaks, I guess.
Yes, indeed. I think that is the plan. None of those nasty 2 and 3 week breaks.
And have you gotten any sense of anything that's ahead for your character that you can tell?
No, not a whiff of anything. Every now and then, as I age and try to counter it with changes in my appearance, between seasons I'm always emailing Shonda. And between season 1 and 2, I sent her pictures of me with glasses and said, come on, how about glasses? And so now, as I lose my hair, I want to go towards a shorter haircut thing where I feel like the less hair I seem to have, the less it'll be clear that I'm also losing my hair. I don't know if that follows. There may be a logic flaw there. But so I've been trying to think how I'm going to pose it. I'm going to pose the question. And I realize I don't even know what I'm playing next year. I don't even know if I'm still the Attorney General. I think the short haircut works for the Attorney General, but I might be out of a job. So the answer is no. I know nothing of what's going to have shorter hair.
All right. How about this question? How lucky are you to be working on your second long-running drama show? I mean, is that – knowing the odds in Hollywood, that's pretty amazing, really.
Yes, ridiculously lucky. And then if you factor in how relatively not that good I am, it's beyond lucky. I don't know. I'm like that guy. There's some guy in the Guinness Book who keeps getting hit by lightning. So I'm hoping that'll continue to happen.
I'm surprised we don't see you on Veep. I mean, it seems like anything with the White House. There's Joshua Molina.
I auditioned for Tony Hale's role.
Really?
But Tony Hale got it. That's not a great story, but
it holds up, though. It's watertight.
What's that?
It's a watertight story, though. It holds up.
Yeah, that's right. No, I love that show. I would love to appear on that show. And yeah, I'm a big fan.
It'd be great if you could be your character from The West Wing, not maybe Scandal because it's a little too current, but you know.
Yeah, I'd like to cross over onto all. That's a great idea. I'm going to call up. What's the other one? What's on Netflix? House of Cards. I feel like I could just through line. I could be on every DC show.
It would make sense, right?
Madam Secretary, come on.
Now the other thing. I forgot about Madam Secretary. I've never watched it, so it's easy to forget about. But
that's great. I think that's how they advertise it.
uh, I'm so sorry to you. So this past weekend, you were in Austin, Texas for the ATX festival, and there was a big West Wing reunion. Anything you want to share with people that you know who weren't at the festival?
Well, I can share this for the people who were not at the festival but are interested in hearing what went down. My partner Rishi Hirway and I are going to release the panel in its entirety as an episode of our podcast, The West Wing Weekly.
What? You have a podcast?
Yes. See, look at the segue. So yeah, we're going to put it out there. And I will say as far as my own participation, it was a lot of karmic payback where I've given a lot of grief to everybody who was on the panel. And I think as a group, they felt empowered to give me grief during the panel. So I had a lot of insult and a lot of emotional body blows during the panel.
Well, and since you mentioned the podcast, recording this, you've released 11 episodes of the podcast. Each one is tied. You start with the first episode of West Wing. You're tied to that. You've had Dulé Hill, Janelle Maloney, Richard Schiff on, the major characters. I understand you're hoping to have Aaron Sorkin in the future?
Yes. We are in talks with the big dog, hoping to have him on during our first season. I mean, our aim with the podcast is, in fact, to record a companion episode of the podcast for every episode of The West Wing. And so we're hoping to have Aaron on to discuss the finale of season one, which is called What Kind of Day Has It Been?
And when you were at ATX, you had some interaction with people about the podcast as well, right?
That is true. I saw Tommy Schlamme, director and executive producer of The West Wing for many years, for the first time in a long time. He was kind of walking by me. We were all milling around. They were taking photos. We were doing interviews. And he walked by and said, "Oh, Josh, I've been listening to the podcast. Love it." And I said, "Great, thanks." And he left. And then he walked back. He said, "But I have a bone to pick with you." And he just walked off. So there's clearly something said that has upset him. So that will be delightful to discuss if he finally comes back.
One more question before we switch back to Rob for a second. The cast of West Wing has been notable, among other reasons, obviously for the quality of the cast, but also different members of the cast seem to reunite at different points. There've been PSAs. I think there've been some father or die moments. Do you think 10 years from now that the same will be true of the Scandal cast?
That's a good question. I think we will certainly be friends and we will see each other because I've been doubly lucky, not in just the success of the shows, but in that they were both ensembles of people whom I really enjoyed and who all really enjoy each other. They're no bad apples, and so I'm quite sure we'll still be friends 10 years from now. I think the West Wing cast maybe has a little bit more gravitas and political credibility. I don't think that anyone's going to ask the Scandal cast maybe to do PSAs because we, a couple more years and every character in the show will have murdered someone. So I don't know how PSA worthy we'll be.
Very good. Very good. All right, Rob, we didn't forget you were there.
I did.
Well, I did. Okay, I did too.
Maybe we tried, but we heard you stirring your coffee or something, so we knew you were still there.
I'm going to make noise while he talks.
There you go. Rob, how long have you been with Conan now?
You mean emotionally or like in his life?
Whatever part you can talk about.
I've been – someone said I never was without him. I think it's been about 6.5 years, starting with the Tonight Show that I killed and then this one that I not killed yet.
And tell folks who don't know what do you do there? Are you working on the monologue? You're doing what exactly is your role for people who don't know?
My official title is fluffer. No, I am a monologue writer predominantly, so that's what I do most of the day. And then also all the writers pitch ideas for the sketch or video portion of the show and contribute to the desk pieces and that sort of stuff. So mostly monologue and then with sort of sidebar of other parts of the show now and then.
It's been interesting, when the show made the transition from being from doing the Tonight Show at NBC to TBS, nobody really knew where that was going to go. It's really become kind of a bedrock of TBS now. And how has it, you know, for what you do for the monologue and just for the atmosphere around the show, being there now 5 or 6 years, you know, how has it changed?
I think it's a great feel and a great morale. TBS has just given us a completely free hand to do what we want, and you know, it did. They late night did a lot of fantastic, groundbreaking things, and then they did it for a long time, and then you know, this sort of gave us a chance to just kind of reinvent and do just new, entirely new things that are just, you know, just sort of kind of mind bending, weird sketches sometimes, and sometimes things that are very on topic, and just whatever we feel like makes us laugh any given day. So it's, I think that the team here is very cohesive and enjoys it, and the freedom that we've been given to do that in some ways was not present on the Network Tonight Show version, where they were sort of expecting us to be in a certain kind of animal that we are not meant to be.
My wife and I were both kind of wondering the same thing. How much does being able to use the word shit affect the Conan show?
Well, that's a very bottom line entertainment question. I don't think that's even like that's not even really something we would think about. I think us, as I think you'll find any comedians will realize that using any kind of profanity is very much like sort of a crutch or something that you do just to sort of amp up a joke that already has to have the solid fundamentals in place. So, you know, it's definitely not anything where we use those words at all. Like if we ever use like a word in the monologue for like the F word to sort of amplify something, we do it very sparingly, and it has to be, Conan is very reluctant to do it because you don't want to sort of wear out the welcome of the sort of power of those words. So it's really not even and I think even you could be bleeped probably on network nowadays.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. I don't know. But it's really like, I would say it's pretty far from a paramount concern.
Well, I don't want to focus just on using the word, but to me, it's been interesting because it does differentiate the show from the network shows. It's that much looser. It's sometimes seems it can be the show is a little more urban than the other shows are.
Perhaps I think maybe it sort of represents like the sort of more offbeat feel of the show, is that it can sort of be all kinds of different things and doesn't sort of. Doesn't hew to the conventions of a, you know, regular late night show. The sort of cable, maybe it's just sort of the overall cable feel, but I think maybe what you're getting at.
Maybe so. Yeah, wouldn't have guessed 6 years ago that a non-network late night show would have survived more than a year or two. And you know, here you guys are, and you're Conan certainly contracted several years out still, right?
Yeah, until 2018 at least. I think one thing is that like the whole idea of like the late night shows that everyone tunes into. You know, everyone tunes into Johnny Before Bedtime. Like the way that people watch shows, either with DVR or online, is just very different nowadays. So it's more like you're trying to make pieces that are going to sort of appeal to an audience who watches it all different kinds of times a day. So it, in a way, it doesn't really matter if you're airing, people are watching you that night, or if they're watching you online or the next day or something like that. It doesn't really. It sort of narrows the distinction, I think, between network and broadcast shows, or network and cable shows.
I know I've certainly seen a lot more of your work because it's in clips on Facebook or Twitter, right, or somewhere else, which is great because, you know, we're not getting any younger here on our end. So staying up and catching – and there's so many shows to watch, so it's been great to be able to see the clips. So anyway, anything embarrassing you want to give away about Conan or Andy while we have you here? Not that – I mean, nobody's watching. Nobody's listening. It is a podcast after all. So,
you know. I'm going to show you this picture I made of Conan and Andy that's very unflattering. Oh, wait a minute. Your camera doesn't work.
Yeah. So the reality is you turned the video off because you wanted to use that joke. I get it now.
Right. I play the long game here.
Long ball.
I don't have anything embarrassing. I will say that we're excited about we're going to Comic-Con for the second year in just a couple of weeks, which is always fun for me because it's all, we just like hit hard all the nerdy and sci-fi comic book jokes and have all these casts on stuff, and it's super cool to be among all those crazy mobs. So that's a fun thing. And then we're going to New York and playing in Harlem, doing a week of shows in Harlem in the fall. So that'll be kind of stepping outside of our our four walls here and doing very different things that are always fun.
Will that be at the in the conference room at the Clinton Foundation?
That's right. We're going to meet at Sylvia's. Just we're going to serve fried chicken all week long. And be at,
all right.
No, actually, we're actually at the Historic Apollo. So Conan might get pulled away by the Sandman in his first show, which would be really awkward for the whole week.
The Apollo. I'm sorry, I don't know that name.
It's named after it's named after the movie the last Rocky movie.
The Apollo Creed. You got to give it its full name. I get it now.
Okay. No.
I see.
It's a nickname.
All right. Folks, listen. You can listen to Runaway Brains, the new radio comedy from the fertile yet stationary mind of Conan writer Rob Kuttner, anytime it suits you, all 10 episodes on howl.fm. And check out Joshua Malina as U.S. Attorney David Rosen in the upcoming sixth season of Scandal on ABC, and give a listen to his new podcast, The West Wing Weekly, at, believe it or not, thewestwingweekly.com. I don't know where you guys get those crazy names. Still there?
Oh, my video disappeared, but I'm still here, and now I'm a disembodied voice.
Oh, it's just one of those days.
This is what it's like. You're Rob Kuttner. It's terrible.
Finally.
I that's really weird. Okay, so each of you, Joshua, Twitter, Facebook, are you a social media guy?
I am indeed. Twitter, at Josh Malina. And Facebook, something else.
Okay, so that would be facebook.com/something else.
And something like that. You'll find me if you search. Work for it.
And Rob, what about you? Where can people find you?
I am on Twitter at Apocalypse Howl.
I thought you said Apocalypse Howl, like howl.fm.
Oh, that would be too much of a synergy. No, Apocalypse Howl, no L.
Okay, all right. Well, guys, Rob Kuttner and Joshua Malina, great to talk to you both. Joshua, nice to meet you. Rob, thanks for joining us four times. Thanks for joining us at Mr. Media today.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, it was a blast.
It's good fun.
Media is recorded live before a studio audience full of comedic actors and writers that begin every day by bowing in the direction of Nate Nowles in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Good to see you.
You too.
Yeah. All right. Let me see if I can add Mr. Molina.
Yo.
Hey, Joshua?
Yep.
Okay, there you are. Now, why did we lose video on Rob? Let's see.
Hey, I saw the camera thing.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And I see you.
All right. Well, that's a start. Now, let's see if we can add...
You may have a 2 Jew limit on your
3 Jew.
No, only limits it to 2.
Oh, Joshua's not Jewish.
No, I'm saying you can only handle.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
1/5 of a minion. That's it.
Oh God.
Josh, I was telling him it has a 2 Jew limit.
Is that what it is? Yeah. It didn't even occur to me. That makes sense.
Hey, Joshua.
Hey.
All right. Let me add or try to add Rob. Let's see. Skype. Yes. Skype. and Kuttner. All right. Does anyone have to be anywhere? Nope. Or?
I'm pretty good today, I think. We're not really even doing a monologue because of the whole Orlando thing, so.